Thank you very much. 6:13, and we're convening the meeting of Subcommittee 2 of the Government Reform Commission. Thank you all for being here. For a matter of public record, I want to say thank you to Kristen for taking our notes tonight, because the budget deliberations are requiring a lot of staff support. Thank you to Mr. Roberts for being with us as well. Could we do a roll call, please? And Woody, would you please start?
Woody Turner.
Mark Nealis.
Bob Gordon.
Tanya Matthews.
Bill Saltes.
Don Walker.
Okay, we've got a quorum of Subcommittee 2. Thank you all for giving your evening and being here tonight. Just before the approval of the minutes, I would like to ask if there's anyone in the room who'd like to address the Subcommittee. And Ed, I think you certainly would like to do that. Would you like to pull up a chair and say what you've got on your mind, please? Introduce yourself first, if you would, please.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for the chance for these few minutes to talk to you. My name is Ed Modzeleski.
How do you spell that?
I will do that.
Thanks.
M-O-D is Z as in zebra. E-L-E. S-K-Y.
Thank you.
I'm a community board member for the Loudoun County Volunteer Rescue Squad, station number 13. And I'd like to address you for a couple of minutes to tell you some information. Reed Station 13, I would like to present some information for you when you're considering your position on the Government Reform Commission recommendations, specifically those with regards to fire and rescue. And four items that I would like to highlight for you when you consider this is that number one, Station 13 is only one of 17 rescue stations in the county, and we are considered only a single member of that team, but it's very important that we all are considered as a team, all 17. It's very important. They're not individual islands in the stream. We're all one big team. Number two, career and volunteer team members contribute. There are all of their unique types and levels of skills, and they're complementary. I'll go into that a little bit more. Volunteer staff members provide value, not only in terms of dollars, but in terms of soft skills that we've developed in our day jobs. And four, we really appreciate the measured autonomy that we are given to deal with our station-specific issues. We really appreciate that. Now, a couple of facts for you to consider. Station 13, we have 20 administrative and 120 operational volunteers. We value our volunteers, and we are constantly working to recruit, train, and keep them. We ask that you consider how your decisions might impact our ability to maintain the hard-won successes that we've had thus far. Number two, our volunteers come from a variety of backgrounds. We have accountants, we've got lawyers, we've got engineers, that's what I do is my day job, teachers, technicians, business owners. It's an eclectic mix. And as you can well imagine, we've come into many different types of situations where we've had to use and hone those soft skills. In dealing with people, in dealing with organizations, and in some cases, having to deal with unruly pieces of equipment. Dollar value. Last year, Station 13 had over 38,000 accounted hours. That roughly relates to about $820,000 of time. Last year we ran over 4,300 calls. That's about 10 per day. Consider that $820,000, that if volunteers hadn't put in that time, that money would have had to gone to career staff salaries. Consider further, we're just one of 17 different stations in the county that are contributing probably the same amount. So we save the county some money. Another thing to consider is the flexibility in having volunteers ready to come and staff at any time. For example, they may need, they being the proverbial they, might need some ENT relief for a major unplanned event, 9/11 for example. There are some people at the station who were called up, dropped the hat, went down there. There are times too when you consider career staff, they have overtime limits. They may not be as readily available as the volunteer staff is. There may be some hard staffing spots that volunteers can help out. Consider how your decisions may impact that as well. And the other thing that's very important is our volunteers, we administrate and we maintain the facility, the infrastructure, the assets, training, fundraising, community outreach, and equipment. Station 13's infrastructure, land, and equipment, the value of it is significant. It's over $5 million. One of the things I should tell you, too, is when it comes to fiduciary responsibility, Station 13, as a community, I represent the community. I'm not an EMT. So I'm always mindful of these kinds of things. Well, in 2003, Station 13 borrowed $350,000 for equipment. It was a 20-year note. They paid it off in 5 years. That, to me, is a great example of fiduciary responsibility for a significant amount of money. $350,000 is significant. Again, when you consider what to think and what to position yourselves with on this reform commission, just think about that as well. So I'm going to conclude. I would like to leave you with these thoughts. In conclusion, we are one of 17 individual stations in the county, and we are fully committed to the community we serve, day and night. We share the same mission with the career staff, to provide seamless emergency care and rescue services, day and night. Volunteer members contribute valuable and complementary skills, hard and soft skills, to the rescue squad. And this is important. Volunteer staff members provide value, not only in terms of dollars, but in terms of the softer, the personal, situation handling type skills as well. Very important. And as I mentioned before, we have demonstrated fiduciary responsibility. In closing, I'd like to remind you, too, that if there wasn't a medical emergency in this room, it would be Station 13 who would come to help you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Well, yes, hang on. Station 13 is basically what I think of as Leesburg. You
yes.
recently renamed yourself, I think.
Right.
And are you operate out of Plaza Street? The
yes.
facility at Plaza Street?
That's correct.
So let me ask this, though,
sure.
because we are certainly for myself and everybody I know, we really appreciate your comments. Right?
That's pretty close.
Yeah. Based on what you know of our recommendations, I mean, we've made some that have been in the paper, do you feel that, just based on what you know, that we've recommended anything that is detrimental to the system, or what are your...
Okay, let me give you some background. I'm fairly new to the board. I've been there for a matter of months, and based on my reading and based on the give and take that I've had with the board members, we don't see anything onerous, but things happen, and that's why I'm here. I just wanted to give you what we thought, and just things for you to think about when you make your decision. That's all.
Okay.
That's all we're saying.
Well, I know a lot of our perspective, Woody and I, we had this mantra, you know, it's like a doctor, first do no harm or something like that. Do
right.
no harm to this system.
Yeah.
Approach it from, I mean, it's a complicated, combined system, but certainly we, and I think everybody in the room and the board members appreciate very much the contributions of the volunteers, and we're certainly mindful of their value, and I think we'd at least try to do no harm.
Yes.
Do only good.
Right.
Whether we've succeeded others, I guess, we'll judge.
I guess the other thing I tried to do here is put a little bit of a quantitative look at it as well as qualitative. Qualitatively, everybody in the room understands. You know, these are volunteers. I mean, they're trained to be exactly certified with the career staff, all that. Folks understand that. But I knew that. I just wanted to put a little bit of a quantitative taint.
Do we have any questions?
I'd like to ask a question. I mean, I'm Don Walker from the Catoctin District. First, thank you for taking the time to come down here and talk to us. Second, I recognize that you're telling us you're fairly new at what you're doing.
Right.
But I'd like to ask of you if you had the opportunity to either speak for yourself or your volunteers. If I could ask you, what is the one thing volunteers would like to see done or changed? Do you have an answer to that?
I'm going to have to wear two hats. Okay, I'm going to wear I live in Leesburg for the last 20-odd years hat. And as Mr. Gordon had mentioned, speaking as a member of the community, don't do any harm. Whatever you do, the volunteers are important. The last thing that I want to see as a community member is less volunteers. That would be detrimental to the whole situation.
I'm getting approached by volunteers, and quite a few. Okay. And they apparently are not concerned about coming to talk to me or speaking their minds. But it all boils down to representation on the Fire and Rescue Commission, and the volunteers apparently don't feel that they are fairly represented. And a number of these volunteers have given me the exact same answer about the one thing they would do if they could change something or have some input. And they've all had, independent of each other, without knowledge of each other, the same answer, which I'm not necessarily going to say. But I was looking to see if you had the same answer, too.
I'm going to have to forego. I wish the other representative that was going to be here with me tonight would have been here. He's had many, many more years with the volunteers at the station. I myself haven't.
Are you hearing anything in your 2 or 3 months about what the volunteers are saying about representation on the Fire and Rescue Commission?
You know, I don't hear that as the number one item. What continually comes up is disciplinary activities. They're really, from what I'm hearing, that's what's going on. Folks are kind of wondering how that's going to come down. And that's why I said this autonomy issue is that we really appreciate being able to take care of our own house.
Thank you for your input.
Thanks. Sure, appreciate you giving me a chance this evening.
Thank you for your time.
Pleasure to meet you. Okay, continuing on our agenda, would anyone be interested in making a motion to approve the minutes of our February meeting, which are attached?
I move.
Thank you, Woody. Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, Bob. Are there any changes? Any discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you, unanimously approved. Next topic is an update on the EDA. With Tom Julia not being here, who else would like to get that?
I wasn't at the meeting, but I believe that the board did basically what we had heard they were going to do, which was change the name of the Industrial Development Authority to Economic Development Authority as a, I think they felt, a first step towards enhancing the stature and role of the IDA, but I don't think that their action went as far as we had recommended, which was to basically model the IDA more on a Fairfax County thing, where it's much more separate from the control of the Board of Supervisors. I believe they kept the Economic Development Department within the county as it exists, with the staffing as it exists, and with the Economic Development, or EDC, basically. So I think it's it's less than what we would recommend, but that's what they do.
Right. Okay, does anybody have anything to add to that? All right, continuing on, our big topic of the evening is the Inspector General, and Bill Saltes has been leading that effort valiantly with lots and lots and lots of input. So, Bill, if you'd like to brief us on where you are.
Okay, thank you. Barbara Muncy said she would be here likely this evening, so she should be here soon, and she can throw some information in this, too. I'd like to give you a little report about the meetings I've had. And then I've invited our county attorney, Jack Roberts, to join us. I met with Jack.
At the table?
Jack, please come on up. First of all, I'd like to tell you that I met with Linda Neary. Barbara Muncy and I met with Jack Roberts. Tanya and I met with Julie Pastor. Tanya and I met with Bob Wirtz. I met with Ben Mays. Bob Gordon and I met with Roger Zern, and also Barbara had met with Roger Zern individually before also. I'd like to tell you more than anything that through these six meetings, the most common thread that I have found with discussions of what the Inspector General position was like from 1992 to 97, two main points. Number one is the role was not clearly defined and led to a lot of confusion. And number two, it became a political tool. It was even referred to as a political weapon, and credibility was lost. So I'd like to go over briefly a little bit of the highlights of each of the meeting to set the tone for some of the comments. And then we can discuss it, and I'll invite Jack's comments. First of all, with Linda, met with her on February 20th, and she said it the position had too many masters. It became highly political. The role was confused. It was not clearly defined. The Inspector General simply didn't have enough to do. Linda informed me that the county has a public comment line, and throughout the discussion with Linda, as well as other people, we got a lot of comments, but we also raised a lot of questions. One of the questions Linda came up with was, what would be the jurisdiction? Who would this person be able to investigate? Board of Supervisor members? Constitutional officers? Who would it be? Barbara Muncy and I met with Jack Roberts, and Jack will go into his comments in just a minute with some of the highlights. Jack was very familiar with the Inspector General and said that there was really lack of direction. That was very common throughout the meetings. And also it became a highly political position as opposed to a systematic approach. Jack made the comment, if it's done like it was 20 years ago, it'll be a disaster. Jack can expand on that in a few minutes. He asked, what can be done to guard against waste, fraud, and abuse? And there's no doubt that we're becoming bigger every year. Who would be the target? Would it be politicians, schools, who? Met with Julie Pastor, and Tanya joined me in that meeting. Julie said that the position did not have much direction. She felt that the position stemmed from a distrust in government. She mentioned that over the years we've had a lot of swings in the Board of Supervisors. Pro-growth, anti-growth, Republicans, Democrats. I mean, it seems like every 4 years we take a big swing. And Julie said that the consistency throughout this period is often county staff. But as a result of that, sometimes county staff has a target on their back. When the new people come in, they want to change everything. And you know, it's just the nature of the business. She asked, what kind of safeguards can we have? Who can be investigated? Can it be a board member? She talked about some of the specific situations where the Inspector General got involved with where political and paper wasn't right. She asked, what's the process when somebody wants to make a complaint or start an investigation? She said it was really not good. It failed for two reasons. Number one, a lack of direction, and two, it became a political weapon, as I mentioned earlier. She said if something's wrong, it should go to the county administrator. Bob Wirtz, Tanya and I met with Bob. Regarding the inspector general position, Bob feels it should be a level of independence, but also accountability. He said that some members of the board had Burke investigating. Burke was the previous...
Schreiber.
Some of the board members had been investigating each other. Simply, it did not work out. The lines of authority were a problem. It needs a tight job description. Bob was very interesting. He said that it would be good to have a list of all county contracts and expenditures by department to show transparency and accountability to the general public. He said that the inspector general should have a very specific job description and clear direction in who they report to. He said fraud should be investigated by law enforcement, waste and abuse by the budget manager. Bob believes it should be a public process to bring it out into the daylight. He said the goals of an inspector general are worthy, but not sure the mechanism to achieve it. Regarding schools, Bob feels there's a lot of duplication efforts, such as payroll, procurement, information technology, human resources, capital and maintenance, purchasing, just to mention a few. He feels we need more fiscal responsibility in our schools. Ben Mays. Ben was very familiar with the inspector general. He said it was not an effective position. He feels that the internal audits being done by the county now will do a lot more to make the government more effective and efficient than the inspector general ever did. He said the internal auditor looks at three things. Number one, the use and close out of municipal bonds. Two, to examine and streamline effectiveness in the land development process. And three, cash management processes. When I asked him about some of the things that Burke did before, he said he reported to the Board of Supervisors. He did some things like look at the landfill management, the county GIS systems, looked into some personnel issues, and land development fees. He does not recommend that we have an inspector general. He said he's not sure how well the current citizen hotline is being used. The IG position became a political tool, and once credibility was lost, it was difficult to regain. An inspector general position is adversarial by its very nature. I'd like to close the comments with the meeting with Roger Zern. Roger was a member of the Board of Supervisors. Bob joined me on this meeting with Roger. Roger was a member of the supervisors, and he said the biggest downfall was a lack of structure in the position. He had no direction. He said it was a total disaster. It was not effective. It did not have a programmatic agenda. If we do have an inspector general, one of the possibilities might be to have it overseen by an audit committee. That could include the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, the chairman of the Finance Committee of the Board of Supervisors, the county administrator, the county treasurer, chief financial officer, just to name a few that Roger threw out some ideas. He said it should be geared financially. One of the specific duties could be auditing proffers and payments to the county. He said he thinks a position would be a salary of about $110,000 per year, a total budget of $180,000 to $200,000. He said calls could come in from the general public, county employees, school employees. He said that the IG could field the calls to the hotline, refer some, investigate others, and confirm others. Direct quote is absolutely critical that the job be defined ahead of time. I'd like to close these reports with a little story Roger told me that was very interesting. One Saturday, Roger was over at the shopping center where Staples is. He was making a payment on a Saturday, and guy looked at his check or credit card and said, "Oh, Roger Zern, you're the guy I pay my taxes to, huh? Well, we should be a little more careful about where my county money goes." And Roger says, "What do you mean?" And the guy says, "Well, between 3 and 4 every day, I see at least 3 or 4 county vehicles parked behind my store. And they wait till a few minutes before 4, and then they head over to check in with Building and Development so they can get paid to be done with their day." And Roger said, "Oh, is that true? Really?" The guy said, "Yeah, come on over Monday. You'll see." So Roger said, "I went over there Monday. And I looked, and there were 3 county vehicles. And I looked out the back window, and sure enough, pretty soon here comes a 4th one." And so Roger said, "I immediately called Terry Wharton. I told him what was going on. He said, believe me, Terry took care of it immediately. So that's just an example. I'm going to introduce Jack in just a minute. But in my thoughts and in my, hi Barbara, in my thoughts and as I've investigated this, these two concerns about it not being a clearly defined role and becoming a political tool are a great concern to me. Also, I strongly believe that we do need some kind of a mechanism in our county to report things like the situation that Roger talked about. I don't think it happens very often, but things like that can happen, and they do happen. So what would be the best mechanism to do it? Is that Linda talked about the county hotline. I went to the Loudoun County website, and I looked at the front page. I didn't see anything at all about any kind of phone number to contact the county if you see any problems with any. Then I went to the bottom, and it says, "Contact us." So I hit that button, and thinking, okay, it's probably there. Well, here's a list of all the county phone numbers, and I don't see anything about
where you mentioned.
Yeah, who to complain, or if you see something, or if somebody tries to
shake you down,
whatever. So
it's called ACR, Automated Citizen Response Hotline. But we don't really know where the number is, or
it's not on here.
Well communicated.
Not on here. Anyway, so. I think there's still some investigating needs to be done. Those are the initial thoughts, initial comments. I believe that this county hotline should be certainly made aware. I've been in this county for 25 years. I had no idea we even had one. I'm looking at this, still don't know how to have one. But anyway, any comments for me, go right ahead. If not, Jack, I'd love to hear your comments on it and expand on my summary of our meeting and any thoughts you have.
I think the only thing I'd probably add is structurally, as I understand it, and I don't pretend to be an expert, you have these IGs in situations where you've got an executive and a legislative branch of government that are distinct and separate. And really with county government, you don't. It's all one branch, if you will, under the board of supervisors. There isn't an executive, you know, elected executive, like the president or the governor, administering all the executive line departments. So you don't have the legislative branch. In this case, the IG would be looking at the board. If it's for the board, it would be the board looking at its own stuff, not at some other branch of government, how that's being administered. So I think you have a structural issue there. But however you deal with it, whatever you call it, I mean, if the issue is how do you have an effective internal auditing function or whatever you want to call it, how does that get reported back up to the elected officials? How do things get initiated? What's the scope of it? Is it, I heard several things in the different comments. The treasurer said it should be just financial. I heard Mr. Mays, I identified several discrete things. I mean, so defining what it is that this function and person, persons staffed are going to look into and how their work gets managed, I think is critical. If you don't have somebody managing that person's work on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be a problem. And whether you look at, I don't know if there is a corporate model, you know, do corporate boards of directors have audit committees and how do they function and make sure there's a good internal control.
Comments, questions, thoughts? Throw it open to everybody.
Well, the fact that the first experiment failed, I think we can learn from that, but I don't think it should discourage us from pursuing it if it's viable. You know, I can't imagine appointing an IG without having a very clear role of what the IG has to do and should do and can do under certain circumstances, and if you don't have a good set of rules, there's no sense for someone whatsoever. Jack's right. I mean, our form of government is very different than, you know, the General Assembly and the Governor and the Senate. But the state code provisions for the state inspector general are quite clear, and they're very extensive, and you can see over a period of 5 or 10 years, they've added additional powers, additional powers, additional powers. Like initially, they weren't allowed to regulate the sale of regulation at alcohol or tobacco. They bolted that on. Originally, they weren't involved in healthcare systems. They bolted that on. And it looks as though our legislature has continued to fine-tune that to make that right. And that's probably what would have to happen. You create an outline of what the absolute minimum duties are, making a report to the board of supervisors on a quarterly basis. Investigating any cases of alleged fraud. You know, I mean, you can come up with a list pretty quick, but it will also take the support of the Board of Supervisors continuing to say, what else should the IG be doing or what should they not be doing, you know, from time to time, being addressed. And nothing I've heard about the experiment from 92 to 97, I didn't hear anything about the board trying to fix it. Just saying, well, it's not working. And in my mind, if the IG is successful, who they're really representing, or the residents of Bottom County.
Right.
If they're beholden to the Board of Supervisors, there's no sense going.
How do we get a bill to answer to the citizens of Loudoun County rather than answering politically to the board or to the county administrator or anybody else? How do we separate them and put them in that neutral category? And I don't have an answer to that, but should they be appointed by a citizen panel, and that in turn is going to get accused of being political because the panel comes for board appointments or something? But Mark's exactly correct. They should be answering to the citizens of Loudoun County and not to somebody else.
Good point. I don't have an answer. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, two things have stuck with me from when we were able to meet with you, Jeff. And one was, you know, from the get-go, everyone has been saying that there are grave concerns that this could become political. It did become political before. And in my mind, that always sounded as though it were a more partisan political concern, having to do with the pendulum swinging in the county and people, you know, the outs wanting to examine the ins and vice versa, and then they change places every 4 years. But something you said toward the end of the meeting, this light bulb went off in my head, where you raised the issue that staff would be concerned that it was a political venue for going after them. And I've thought about the number of times in the years I've been here, some people do take a political bead on staff or differing departments, and I thought, well, good Lord, you know, political has many levels here. And the good side to that is if everybody thinks that it's somebody else trying to get them, perhaps, yes, then the person is truly looking at everyone, as they should. The downside is, comes back to how do we define it and how do we scope it. And another thing you said about what happens now. For instance, if a complaint is raised that should go up through this department to the head of this department, where do the bucks stop now? I was wondering if that might be a good way to draw the people who would oversee what an IG would do, because there are already a variety of people now separately doing those functions in their own department, aren't they? You know, if there's a complaint that goes into building and development, it rises to the top of that, and someone is ultimately responsible for resolving that. Well, that's one of the buck stop people you take and pull out and put on an oversight committee or a committee to help draft a scope. And if you take that in conjunction with some of the concerns I believe you said Mr. Mays raised when you were with him, we have a lot of internal auditing, a lot of financial things in place now. What aren't we doing? And maybe would that be a way to start scoping out what's missing and what's currently available? So that's just kind of what stuck in my head after listening to you. I don't know if that's helpful or rambling. Probably some of both.
We keep coming back to, I think everybody's clear that it didn't work very well before, and that structure and scope are critical to whether this should be recommended and how it works. I don't know. I guess in listening to it, I think we agree, we keep coming up, what's the purpose? Waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, as well as potentially improvements to process, improvements to systems. These are the types of things the person I think everybody agrees that you would have to have a real well-defined scope and a real well-defined structure of who this person reported to, and it wouldn't just be generically the board supervisors or the county administrator. I mean, I thought as far as that went with Roger's recommendation of, he said a five-person committee. And the chairman of the board of supervisors, the head of the finance committee, the CFO, a Ben Mays type, I forget one other. He specifically included attorneys with this. But nothing personal, I don't think. So, if you had that might work. But I guess I come back to, do we feel as a committee that this is something that we feel strongly should be implemented? I think we have the flavor from Mr. Hemstreet, and I heard it echoed in Mr. May's comments, that, they feel like, hey, they've recommended in the last couple of years enhancements to the internal audit function. And I think they feel like that's enough for the perceived need today. Others may feel differently, but that's their opinion. Roger's reaction to that was, hey, the budget's $80,000 a year or whatever it is, and they've got three or four things that they have been tasked with looking at, and, they don't really have the capability, since it's an outside company, internal audit function, as it now exists, just performed by an outside, consultant or accounting firm. But, I guess the question to ask the group is, based on, we discussed this in two or three meetings, do we feel that there's something so broke we need to fix it, or there's a compelling need to do it, or is it, that's a key question to me that I think we should address tonight. If we feel that it's really important that we have one, notwithstanding Mr. Hemstreet's feeling about it, and I think a little bit Jack's about the structure, then we can drill down on, okay, how would it be structured? personally, and I'm not like totally opposed to it, but I don't have a flavor that yeah, it's something really important that we should do. I can be good.
Well, it strikes me as large as the Loudoun County economy is, and because of that, as large as the Loudoun County government is today, it continues to grow, continues to be the fastest growing, or 10th fastest growing, or wealthiest county in the country. That, to have someone, a person or a department whose role is to try and make the government operate more efficiently is very important. And I also just come back to the fact that, you know, we're a reform commission. I don't expect everything that we recommend gets adopted by the Board of Supervisors. But I think it's our role to advocate reforms. If the board says, we don't see the need, we run a very efficient and clean house, well, that's fine. But that may not be the case 15 years from now. And if it's scoped properly and it's operated properly, I think it's an important role. I mean, I don't think we're asking the Board of Supervisors to recognize the fact that there's wastewater, fraud, or abuse. I'm not suggesting there is. But to have someone other than your member of your Board of Supervisors that you can pick up the phone and call and say, I think there's a problem here, would you please look into it? Because we all know how it is. I mean, occasionally our candidate for the district wins, and occasionally they lose. I would say it honestly as possible, you get a very different level of service depending on who's in that office and who you are. So, that's the role I see. You know, I don't have to call the Commissioner of Revenue. I can call the IG and I don't have to call my district supervisor if we don't share the same political thoughts.
I tend to feel that this should be more of a situation that answers to a citizen panel, not necessarily somebody that is already involved in the county government, but should be answering to a citizen panel. I'm not convinced. We've got a big problem with waste, fraud, abuse out there to start with. But I also have been on both sides of that fence. And anybody that's really any good at it is going to be really hard to catch. And that's where we need some talent in there. And for every 100 people we find that are making us quite proud of how they're handling our tax money, performing our public services, they're probably going to catch one out there that's not. And that's, you know, that's a serious impact.
I was looking at some of the roles that are set forth for the State Inspector General, and again, it's a different structure, but one of the points, you know, they talk about management, fraud, and abuse, assist citizens in understanding their rights and processes available to them to express their concerns and activities of an agency. I don't know who I would go to in county government to determine that. I'd probably, you know, do the research on my own.
We need a communications plan at least on who to go to, because the Sheriff's Department does investigate white-collar crime. Now, if that white-collar crime or abuse is reported to be inside the Sheriff's Department, they couldn't investigate that. They would have to go somewhere else. If there was abuse inside the different departments, for example, contracting, that would go up to the County Administrator's office to try to figure out what went wrong. In the case that you cited, there was a source to go to get that resolved. If you've got a dirty or a corrupt county administrator at some point in the future, you'd be going to the elected members of the Board of Supervisors, I would think. If you had a dirty or corrupt member of the Board of Supervisors, I would think they're not going to get reelected. So there's the press. It strikes me that there are many different avenues for dealing with complaints that an IG would take up. However, as Bill so carefully discovered, it's not known. That citizen hotline is not known, and I don't know who answers it. I don't know who takes the messages off of it. It's someone within Mr. Hemstreet's staff, I'm sure.
I believe it's Annie Davis, his chief of staff.
So that person would take off the messages and figure out where they go and get them routed to be investigated and resolved, I would think. So I'm not convinced, and we do a lot of stuff with inspectors general. I've got a case right now that I'm thinking about putting in front of this SBA's inspector general. And I'm thankful there is an inspector general at the SBA. But in Loudoun, every place I've looked where I need to report something wrong, there's an avenue to report it. But I'm not the average citizen, you know, because all of us are serving on this commission, we're more knowledgeable than the average citizen.
You're not the average citizen.
So we need a communications plan for that hotline, for the ACR hotline, as a minimum.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And better advertisement.
Put it on the website.
I think that's recommendation number one from us.
Absolutely. Because a couple of people have told me we have a county hotline, and so in preparation for this meeting, I said, well,
you're looking
I'm
going
to find it, and I'm looking for it. And it's not on the cover, and it's not on the contact us. It was buried somewhere else. I don't know. But the average Joe in the street is going to look at the front page of the contact us. So I don't know where it is.
And we have an inspector general in our company. And it's on the front of our website, public reaching our website, and the intranet, internal reaching to our employees. And it's on every common bulletin board at every job site.
And you have an inspector general in your company, but you are not, you and whoever else is your top management person aren't separately elected.
Right.
You're not watching each other. Why do you have an inspector general?
In case somebody sees something wrong inside our company, we're a government contractor. And we want it clean and straight and transparent and accountable and open and sunlit. Mm-hmm. So if anyone sees something wrong, they report it and the security officer deals with it.
They're more like your compliance officer, it seems.
Yes, ethics and compliance is part of that role.
And that's an area where perhaps there is some value in having someone who's specifically designated to do that sort of thing. I think you mentioned, someone mentioned, I think it was Linda Neary or Julie, that compliance with profits would be a fertile area for someone to look into. And I think, from my experience, seeing a lot of properties that just have either gone by the wayside or were manipulated around by the developer.
Right.
I think that's something worth thinking about and suggesting. The other place to look at it is the compliance of adherence to contracts. And if there is the possibility of collusion between the county employee and the person that's doing the contract. I've seen that occur, not in the county, but in businesses that I've been involved with. So I think that would be an area perhaps to look at. The financial part of it, I don't know enough about it to know whether you need somebody to do that other than what's already here. I think if they have an audit committee that's doing that function, that should take care of that. Compliance with policies. Your company has to comply with federal rules and regulations. And I'm not sure whether that's an analogy to New York County compliance with federal or state policies, but they have their own internal policies, and who's looking to make sure that the policies of the county are being complied with? Those are just things. I mean, I'm thinking more in terms of compliance. I was one of those people for the hospital, and
you were an inspector general, or as a general counsel.
That was a compliance officer. When all the fraud and abuse were being investigated, one of the things all the hospitals had to do was have. And I mentioned that as sort of. So those are just thoughts to put on the table. I think before we can recommend that we have a inspector general, we really do need to dig a little better, I think, into what it is that it's worth having the inspector general inspect or review. And if we can't find anything, then make sense to make that recommendation.
Those are good points. And what Roger mentioned, $180,000 to $200,000 budget, my goodness, some of these proffers are more than that. I mean, that would pay for itself.
Really?
No. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Jack? I mean, you're involved in that all the time.
It was interesting listening, because I think one thing they kind of pointed out to me is you've got a lot of different things that we ought to be looking at. they can hire one person who's going to be making sure the properties are in conformance and is routing out contract problems and making sure, you know, there's, you know, financial issues. I mean, it seems like there might be a lot of pieces to how we...
Same thing occurred to me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know what each department does. I don't know if there's access controls within the department or... Because we have one organization that does all the contracts, right?
Correct. There's a procurement
office. And then you have a contract administered by, I guess, the line people who are involved in that kind of work. But I don't know, has the county ever taken a close look at how the departments are assuring that there's compliance with capital contracts?
I don't know the answer to that question, but that may be the first step is how are we, what's in place right now and what's missing as good business practice for various types of functions.
Well, that was kind of my thought. We find out what would be beneficial to take a close look at, and then look at how that's being dealt with now. And if it's inadequate, then maybe the recommendation would be the county board needs to beef that part of the county up. Because you're right, one inspector general doesn't have the expertise to do all the different things that need to be done. Because the only thing the inspector general could do probably is oversee someone else doing the things, in the, perhaps in the department or wherever they need to be.
It's so broad. Yeah. You know, one of the things that kind of came up is checking out complaints or helping a citizen. It sounds more like an ombudsman than it does a inspector general.
What's the difference between an ombudsman and a clerk?
Well, the only time I ever dealt with an ombudsman when I was in college, and I felt like I was getting a raw deal with my dorm contract. So I went to see the university ombudsman as a student, and I made my complaint, and that was the process how students could rectify what they thought was an unfair situation. I don't remember the results, it's been 35 years ago, but I felt like that was good that the university had an ombudsman. It could be the point where a student could make a complaint.
I know the Washington Post is considering eliminating theirs, but they write on the editorial page and they handle complaints and problems about the paper.
It's already been flipped.
It's gone now?
Yep.
I stopped
for financial reasons.
I so did I. Yeah, 36 years.
Me too. Yeah. Born here. Had to let it go.
They bought it on themselves.
I've always understood ombudsman as a person who tries to help you navigate the system to get some response.
Right.
It might not be the response you want.
Right.
Or it might help solve your problem.
They don't have any authority like a audit demand, so they just, like you said, have to be a jury.
Right.
So they can persuade and ask if they can get a certain demand. Not a bad idea.
Bring it to attention.
Well, that's...
I mean, if this guy who worked as a clerk in the store that, you know, saw the inspectors hanging out, if he knew that, I mean, rather than Roger just stopping by to make a purchase, well, you know, something like that.
Well, what's the pleasure of the committee? Do we want to put a motion forward, or do we want to do some additional work, or do we want to work on the ombudsman and or communication effort instead of the IG effort, or in addition to? Let's try and get a motion on the table here, or at least a sense of where we would like to go. What do you think? You've been leading this effort.
Well, I'm not sure I'm ready to make a motion on it, other than one specific thing that I can't remember who mentioned. But this supposed county hotline for the average guy on the street, I don't think it exists. If it does exist, I can't find it. And I think it's important, I think it should be, for the average guy on the street. If he
if he sees a neighbor who drives a Mercedes-Benz and always backs in his driveway to avoid paying personal property tax, you know, who do you call him? Do you call the sheriff? Do you call the commissioner of revenue? Do you call the treasurer? To me, there should be a number for that. And that's a pretty common thing, believe me.
Can I ask a question? Is on the other end of that phone, if I pick it up.
I believe it's somebody in the administrator's office. It used to be a guy named Harry Walsh, but he's since taken a job in B&D. I know there is a citizen complaint process, and that somebody from the administration is the point person. This stuff is supposed to be followed up and closed out, but I don't know the details about it.
Where does an employee ask with administration? Or with anybody.
I mean, the most typical employee kind of complaint would be going to HR, because it's usually employment related. My supervisor is not being fair, or, I'm being discriminated against, or whatever. There's something employment related. If it's something where, I think my coworkers hide now behind the Staples store every day, I would think they would take that up to management level. And I guess then it begs the question, do they feel comfortable that it's going to be, are they going to get, have there repercussions for them?
Yeah.
Doing so.
And then the question is, can it be anonymous?
That was going to be my next question.
Right.
Is it advertised as being confidential? Most of the time, people are going to take their complaint to their supervisor. And if they feel like they have to have somebody else, they sure don't want to get back to the supervisor.
Go ahead.
I don't know the answer. If that's laid out in some way that gives people some level of confidence they can make complaints.
The staff person who was complaining about having to raise money for you, did she, would she have benefited from an inspector general? I think, complained to county admin. Who did she complain to? If you can say.
I really can't talk about that one, but, and I think you're talking about a whole different kettle of fish. When you're talking about a legislative aide to a board member, that's a whole different thing than a mental employee saying, I've seen something going, not being done right in my department. How do I let the organization know? That's a political entity.
And I think Don's concern was more that citizens need to have an avenue to make their complaints known to somebody who may feel confident about it. If their supervisor happens to be the one that they worked against.
I think one of the questions been brought up here is about being anonymous. We don't want the citizen to not be able to bring what they perceive to be a problem forward if they think there's going to be repercussions. But if we don't have accountability from that citizen as to who they are, they become what we used to have for zoning snipers. Up until 1986, I believe, anybody could call in an anonymous complaint that Bob Gordon was raising hogs in a school bus body in his yard in a non-agricultural zone. The county ordinance was passed that requires them to do it in writing and sign this thing. Now, other than that, you can spend 2 minutes on the phone sniping at Bob Gordon, and when he gets done with his lawyer bill later, from all this, this just isn't right. So how do we get a midpoint in here between being anonymous? I think the police use a number they assign to a citizen that calls in, so the citizen has some protection from ramifications, but he still has to own up to who he is. This anonymous stuff can cause somebody a tremendous amount of grief, and 2 minutes later it's over for you.
I totally agree with that, but I think even now, I think you definitely have to make a zoning complaint in writing But
now you
I
do.
Think if it goes to court, then it's discoverable. But I don't think the staff, the zoning staff, if you inquire who made the complaint, they say...
Well, as a matter of fact, the zoning staff doesn't. But their boss does.
Well, the Freedom of Information Act allows you to protect that kind of information while it's being investigated. But I believe, I can't swear to this, but I believe they require you to identify yourself.
They require the complainant to identify themselves.
But we don't reveal that while we're investigating.
Once it's over. Yes.
I don't think it ever is.
And certainly, you're right, if you go to court,
Then that's different.
You might have to call the witnesses.
But I've had some circumstances where you're trying to help somebody up. Well, who complained and why about me parking my truck down on Oak Grove neighborhood for my landscaping business? And, was it, somebody who just thinks from a planning perspective they want it to be prettier, or is there an adverse impact? Answer, we don't reveal who made the complaint.
Well, that's what the employee at the counter is going to tell you. And he doesn't have to. But I stand on my position, his boss does.
But you're correct. I mean, it could be abused, the complaint process, whether, the zoning
used to be a popular pastime.
I know one example where someone was making scores of complaints.
Probably about me.
No. It's about a bunch of neighbors, and it became a real problem. Because we felt like we had to look into everyone. If it was frivolous, we'd drop it, but we had to look into everyone. We couldn't assume that they were frivolous until we looked at it.
Okay. Paul, let's see if we can get this to be actionable. Does anyone have a motion that they want to put forward?
No motion I would like to put forward now is that the county would publicize on its website or wherever else a customer or consumer hotline, which I hear we have. I spoke with Andy Davis. I haven't met with him. I meant to before this meeting, but just ran out of time. That the county would somehow publicize this consumer hotline, which would enable citizens to bring issues to the attention of the county administrator.
Well, I would second that. I mean, I think that's at a minimum, okay? I think, when we talk about the need for further study of, what we would do to, investigate, I come back to the thing, I'm not saying there's no corruption in Loudoun County, but I think we all agree that compared to a lot of places in the United States, this is a pretty clean, Virginia's pretty clean, Loudoun County's pretty clean, in my opinion. We are collectively, I think, a pretty well-informed group of citizens, and I think that if there was some glaring problem that we thought needed to be investigated, we would have gotten public input from it, from citizens, or we would have been aware of it, or some of the supervisors would have asked us to look into it. And so I guess I would, if he asked me to make a motion, I would second Bill's motion to say that we should recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they significantly expand the visibility and accessibility of a citizen complaint hotline or other procedure whereby people could, report things that they feel need to be looked into, whether it's wrongdoing or improvements in process.
That's better than I said.
But I would also say that if you ask me for my motion, I would say that I would move that we don't believe that the need for an inspector general has been sufficiently demonstrated for us to have to deal with the clearly complex requirements of structuring it
so that it doesn't become politically abused or badly managed as it was in the 90s.
All right, do you want to couple those two together into one motion, or do you want to make two separate motions?
Let's do them. Let's separate.
Decouple.
I would decouple because having someone having raised the issue of an ombudsman, for me, until we determine what perceived needs, whether they exist or not, are not being covered by the internal audit function, we can't know whether it's a good idea to have an inspector general or not.
Okay.
And
let's take the two separately.
Bills first.
Yes. Can we take on the notion of the publicity? Austin, do you have it, or do you want Bob to restate it?
I have most of what Mr. Gordon said.
Okay. Good.
Let's see. Let me go back. I'm sorry.
Significantly.
Recommend to the board that they significantly expand the visibility and accessibility of a citizen complaint hotline or other procedure whereby citizens can report concerns or wrongdoing.
That sounds fine.
That's perfect.
Great.
I'd vote for that, just as it is.
I'll make that motion.
That's Bill's motion with Bob's second, okay? Discussion on the motion. All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? That passed unanimously. Thank you. Bob, do you have a second motion that you'd like to place on the table?
Well, I move that this subcommittee recommend to the full government reform committee our finding, our sense, that we don't believe that the need for an inspector general has been sufficiently demonstrated to overcome the complex issues that would have to be resolved to make sure that it was properly structured so as not to be either badly managed or politically abused, as it was in the 90s.
Okay. Kristen, did you get that?
Let's see.
I would truncate it after politically abused.
I think I do have that.
First, before we do that, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, now can you give it to us? Give it back.
Move that the subcommittee recommend to the full government reform commission our finding that the need for an IG has been sufficiently demonstrated.
Has not been, thank you, demonstrated
to overcome the complex issues that would have to be resolved to make sure it was properly structured so as not to be either badly managed or politically abused.
Okay. All right, discussion on the motion. Barbara, did you have something?
I agree that it has not been sufficiently demonstrated. However, it's I do think there is some kind of a need, if only, you know, Bill's experience in trying to find out how to report things, other people's experience, you know, how do complaints happen, where do they go? And I would be comfortable exploring the idea of here are the perceived needs, because I believe in the internal audit function, the fact that a third party of professionals is going to come in here and at least look at the financial procedures, etc., that should alleviate any political concern, because it's no one in Loudoun County. Okay, it's an outside entity coming in, doing what they do. If they find something, they do. If they don't, we're clean. None of us here, including, I mean, even Jack has mentioned, you know, I'm not sure about this. I don't know how thus and so would happen. Maybe there are some real needs there that have nothing to do with auditing functions, all of the items Woody raised. So I do think we ought to explore that a little bit and say, in the process, you know, we may not need an IG, but here are the areas you guys need to look at. You know, who's managing your proffers, who's making sure people are procedurally compliant. From the citizen perspective, the ombudsman looks attractive to me because that might hit a lot of bases. You know, I'm persistent and wordy. When I wanted something from the county when I moved in, I budgeted a whole morning where I would call the number I thought it was and tell my story, and they'd say, no, you need to talk to this person. They'd transfer me, and I'd go right back to the beginning and tell my story. I'd meet 20 nice new people sometimes, and eventually I found resolution. But I'd tell that damn story for 3 hours sometimes, you know. But I would do that because, you know, that I had a problem I wanted fixed, you know. That's how I met you, in fact, and it was a lovely experience. But it was for me.
I'm too close to run in there. So.
That's all right. No, you've always been very kind to me, and you were very helpful to me, and you educated me. And that's why I never called you and yelled at you ever again. But I think we need something of that, particularly since I think it landed in our laps because of a perception issue, political perception issue.
Are you attempting to make a friendly amendment to the motion that Bob put forward?
Perhaps to ask the full committee whether we should scope out the other areas needing attention as raised by Woody, and whether we do need an ombudsman for the citizens.
As to terms of friendly amendment, I'm not, whatever we want to amend, I'm not good with that. So I reject any friendly amendments. But just to address your two comments, I think the idea of an ombudsman as opposed to an IG is something that, you know, is interesting. But as to your first point, the stuff to investigate, I mean, haven't we as a government reform commission been in the process for 18 months of looking at, okay, are there areas of the county government that need to be looked into and reviewed? I mean, we've not discussed the proper management system, but, I mean, isn't this what we've been doing for the last 18 months?
Yeah, and the way we've handled it is we've asked the county administrator to line us up some folks that know the answers to those, and they come and they tell us what the answers are. And then if we're not satisfied, then we move some other direction.
Right, but I mean, how did we pick out the topics? We had public input, we listened to board members, we got input from county admin, we had our own thoughts. But all I'm saying is, to the extent that there are areas that can be identified that need to be looked into, that's, I'm not saying we've solved all problems, but we've been doing that for 18 months. Just a reaction.
Okay.
But we're going to go away.
True.
And if these are the gray areas, I see a lot of what Woody raised as the gray areas that would be covered by an IG if we knew how to structure and scope one. So if they think they want an IG, as Mark pointed out, we can recommend anything they want.
Okay.
They will or they won't.
Could we say that, I mean, accepting the spirit of your friendly amendment, could we say that the Government Reform Commission may recommend to the county that the county establish an ombudsman type position or a designated member of county staff to play that role to help investigate and to help respond to, facilitate, and educate citizens in response to their inquiries or complaints. In other words, we're recommending, short of an inspector general, that a designated person on staff play some type of ombudsman role. Is that a recommendation we could make?
If they would like to have one, yes. But I don't know if the ombudsman covers everything Woody raised with who's watching the store with procedure, who's watching if people bring procedural complaints, if people feel that proffers are not being adequately executed. And you have that kind of stuff all the time. You know, as HOAs move through toward resident control, the developer, people are told this was going to happen. Oh, it's really happening this way. Where does that go? Where does the buck stop on that in the county with the proffer, how it's executed, what was agreed to? So I see it, I'm like, maybe my, what you're looking at for my friendly amendment may have two parts. These are the areas that won't be covered by their internal audit. If they feel they need an inspector general, look at those areas. And in the meantime, perhaps we need an ombudsman.
All right, do we want to cover those two parts of your friendly amendment by putting it into Bob's motion?
Or
do we want to decouple that?
Two separate issues.
Decouple that.
I need my recommendation.
Okay, you all okay with that?
I will give it to you.
Can we clarify this? His amendment here, Bob's recommendation, and it is to not go forward with the Inspector General?
That's my recommendation. That's
Kristen,
my
do you have that?
Motion, rather.
Yeah, that's my motion.
Thank you for taking notes, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's see.
The need is not demonstrated. I would agree with that.
The need for energy has been sufficiently demonstrated to overcome the complexities. The complex issues? What do you have?
Is this
Mr. Gordon's
Don't worry about
motion.
The friendly amendments. Okay. That was all just discussion.
And I think this is what you're looking for. And keep in mind, I'm not a professional admin. I make
maps.
You're doing great. Okay. Move that the subcommittee recommend to the full government reform commission our findings that the need for an IG has not been sufficiently demonstrated to overcome the complex issues that would have to be resolved to make sure it was properly structured as so not to either be badly managed or politically abused.
That can fly on its own, but
really?
Going into the full commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and Bill, you seconded that. Any more discussion on that motion? And I'll get with you for your own motion in a moment.
Didn't we already vote on that?
No, we haven't voted on that.
No.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Nay. Okay, two nays.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ayes, 2 nays, no abstentions, right? Okay, 5-2-0. Thank you.
You listen, Walker opposed.
Yes.
I don't know if it's worth the time doing, but is there something that could be done with that motion that would get a unanimous vote here?
You know, I see the need for it. I mean, 11 county government's been squeaking clean. That's great. We got some counties to south and east of us that haven't had that same experience, and some of them are located in Virginia. And one of them that borders on the eastern border 25 years ago had some serious problems. I think the structure ought to be there. Everything's fine. You don't staff it. You staff it minimally. But I think the structure ought to be there.
Okay. Barbara,
my thought.
I supported the motion, and I will, if you like, but I'll need help. Because I do feel the need has not been sufficiently demonstrated, as Bob's. It hasn't been sufficiently demonstrated in a way that we can come back, and that's why I guess perhaps you perceived it as a friendly amendment. My concerns about supporting it are that I feel we do need to identify the areas that will not be covered by an internal audit. And I think much of what Woody said are areas that should be looked at there.
So their concerns might be covered in the next motion.
Perhaps we can craft, well, not, but I see them as separate things, because the ombudsman, since it does not have the power to compel or enforce, or it's more of a navigator, I see that as a separate thing for the citizens. So that, for instance, if someone does come in and attempt to do zoning sniping, they can be steered in a direction that says, you know, you may have this concern, but this is legal, this is not. You know, here's where you need to go. Here's what you can complain about, here's what you can't. That is more, that I see that as separate. I feel like we should scope out and tell them, if we're going to tell them you haven't demonstrated the need and it's too complex, we should tell them why it's too complex by covering the areas that may be addressed by your concerns and the ones I have, but that were not sufficient to keep me from supporting the motion, because I do feel the need hasn't been fully demonstrated yet, but we ought to tell them why. So, does that address some of it?
I think so. I'm trying to follow you. I mean, I certainly have an ombudsman is helpful, particularly if the ombudsman can send certain issues to these independent audit committees.
Well, maybe what we need is a minority report so that the two people who do not support...
I'm fine with being on the losing end of a vote.
Well, but
the first time.
What he's seeking coming to some kind of consensus, too.
All right. Woody, can you help Barbara to craft that into a motion? Or do we not want that to be a motion?
Perhaps just part of discussion at the full committee.
Okay.
Because we have people who did not support the motion raise your issues with the full committee. And I will state, because I'm discussing, I'm not moving yet, because I'm not a very good mover.
Okay.
Can I make some observations? It sounds like what I've heard is make sure the internal audit function is robust. Explore this ombudsman to help citizens. I also heard some concern and make sure we got our whistleblower procedures
right
in place. And there might be another three or four bullets that are things to make sure our structure has processes and people in place to be able to be responsive to complaints and problems. But at least those three I would kind of pick up.
I could add to that. I was looking through one of these comments and I read, I think Roger Zern had a good one. He said, we were talking about Inspector General. He said that person on field calls, refer some, investigate others, and confirm others. That's makes sense.
To me, the essence of, I don't claim to fully understand ombudsman, but what I do think is Inspector General smacks of independent investigatory powers, independent jurisdiction. The ombudsman seems to me is an employee on county staff under the supervision of the county administrator,
right,
who reports. So that, the ombudsman is much less structurally revolutionary, whatever you call it, than Inspector General, but still can perform some of those functions. And if I'm hearing, I jotted down the county should consider enhancing public perceptions of openness by appointing an ombudsman or a designated staff person to receive complaints or recommendations from government employees and citizens and to coordinate responses, and should publicize that person's name and role. I mean, that's a little wordy, but that's me. But is that what we're getting at?
Well, I think
that's not going to your point of what things we should to investigate or what things we should recommend to the board, but it does go to this function of we're saying, hey, we don't think the need for an IG has been demonstrated, but we do think the hotline, the reporting should be really more prominent, more public. This kind of goes to that second point by saying, and there should be some person who's associated with that, call them an ombudsman or a designated staff person, who's part of their job description is to respond, and coordinate response.
I think that goes to what you just said. That sounds good. I guess that would cover one of my points. The other is still whatever the internal audit isn't going to do, because so many places all of us have been, people have said, well, we don't need one because we're having this internal audit. Or what would we need one for? But then people say, well, there are these loans, or there is this, or there is that. I think we should at least make an effort to collect what one would do if they decide to have one, no matter what we say. And those would be the things not covered in what they've budgeted for internal auditing. And that's something I'm fine with the full committee either saying, yes, we should put that together, or no, if we're not going to do it, don't do it.
Okay. The whole notion of ombudsman has been discussed here pretty well. We don't have a motion going forward to the full committee on that, and we're okay with that? full committee meeting is on Tuesday night, March 19th. So we're going to need to remember to bring that forward. We're not going to do a motion.
I would make a motion that we take to the full committee the concept of making a recommendation to the board that the board consider developing a position for citizens on the commons, but...
Yeah. Is there a second?
That we recommend to the full board, that the full board, or full commission recommends to the board, that they look into hiring or establishing a position for someone who will act as the citizen's ombudsman.
And Mark, are you seconding that? Thank you.
Can I put that into a, I'm temporary in my language. The county should consider appointing a citizen ombudsman, i.e. a designated staff person, to receive complaints or recommendations from government employees or citizens and to coordinate responses. Does that get to what you're saying or no?
You defined it a little more narrow than I would, but...
Okay, how...
Well, I think another part of the ombudsman, I look at an ombudsman as, like we have in hospital, a patient's advocate. It helps you get through a very complicated healthcare system and get the treatment that you need. And I think people that try to access the county government, me included, I go to the website and I have no idea where to find where I want, what I want, or how to figure out where to go. And, you know, call it a citizen's concierge if you want to, but someone that doesn't just take complaints or do investigations, but helps people get through the, understand the process. Where do you go for this? And what's the process? Who can I talk to? Because you look at the website and you look at all the things you go to, 50% of the time, there's not something that jumps out to you. So there ought to be sort of a, if you can't figure out who to go to and what to do, here's the number you call.
There's three tasks, I would think, in addition. And maybe we ought to pass a simple motion and take it to maybe flushing it out. But I think ombudsman should make a report to the board supervisors on a regular basis. I fielded 65 phone calls this month, and guess what? 55 of them are in the condition of Route 659. They don't need to say whether 659 is okay or it's not okay, but just bring it to the Board of Supervisors in open. It's on TV. It's got minutes. You got cable television. Got all this, so people know that their complaints are being heard. The second one is assist, and this is coming out of the State Inspector General. Assist citizens in understanding the rights and processes available to them. Because if that's what I wanted to find out, I'm not sure I would call the county administrator's office.
Okay, and the third one?
The third one would be that they, if they have identified a problem, that they'd be able to send it to these independent auditors in the county. Someone calls up and says, the school buses are too expensive, or we're changing the tires too often. We think a lot of money could be saved, or you ought to switch to synthetic oil because you can go, three times as long. I don't know how to tell these auditors yet, but I mean, if there's money to be saved, there's money to be saved, because I'm convinced you can pay for the position with the savings, as large as the organization as the county is.
Are you asking to put that in as a friendly motion to Woody?
I'm happy. I'm perfectly happy with a simple motion and take until the 19th. Flush out something a little bit more detailed.
Okay.
I know procedurally that's a little defective, but
at least we captured the intellect.
That would be my preference.
Barbara, what did you want to add to that?
Well, no, just he already covered it, because that would be part of routing and sorting calls.
Yes.
And to include if someone has a complaint.
Okay. Any more discussion on Woody's motion? Okay.
Reread the motion, please.
Kristen, can you get back to us, please?
No, it's actually Woody's motion has restated better by Bob.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's like he did with mine, too. He's better at this than I am.
Well, I have for what you said, take the board to consider recommending the full board develop fill up a position for citizen ombudsman. And then Mr. Gordon said the county should consider appointing a citizen ombudsman, or i.e. designated staff person, to receive complaints or recommendations from government employees or citizens and coordinate responses.
I think to coordinate responses, comma, and to comma, and to serve as a citizen advocate.
Well, if you'd accept a friendly amendment, I guess.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Pick up some or all of my three items. If that person doesn't report to the Board of Supervisors, there's no transparency. That's a dark closet.
After the friendly amendment, comma, and to be a citizen's advocate, period, the ombudsman should publicly report to the Board of Supervisors on a regular basis.
Like publicly, too.
The second one is their ability to refer, and I understand the independent auditors can reject it, but their ability to refer items to auditors' choice.
I mean, I'm not going to get, just in terms of friendly amendments, I happen to know from our discussion with Roger and with Hem Street that there's like a budget, $80,000 or $100,000, and that the county administrator and whoever, the powers that be, say, okay, for fiscal 2013, here are the things you want to look into. And if an ombudsman, a staff person, could, you know, just, hey, I got a call, I want those guys to investigate that, it's an outside company. I mean, there's clear budgetary and management implications to their ability to just refer it to the outside auditor, is my thinking.
Okay. Are we good with the motion? Do we understand what the motion is? And our seconder is okay? Any more comment on it?
Well, just to Bob's comment now, a regular report to the Board of Supervisors, much like, you know, a first meeting of the month report, much as the county administrator gives this report right on the dais and you sit there, that it puts it in front of the board to say, my gosh, you know, this, let's look at point three.
Yes.
Yes, let's send that, because they're the ones that have the power to adjust the budget or send it to the outside auditor if they feel it's necessary, if it's something significant.
Okay, is there any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? That carried unanimously.
You guys do.
Okay, do we have anything else on IG?
I'd like to compliment Bill Soltis.
Thank you. I have one more. In two of the discussions, one with Jack and one with Bob Works, and different discussions that we've had as a group, comments were made regarding the schools in the county. There are some areas of duplication, such as information technology, garage, central accounting, payroll procurement, human resources, capital maintenance, purchasing. I wonder if there's something we could do, because we've had a lack of cooperation in the schools, maybe to have somebody investigate these areas of duplication to see if something should be done or if somebody should be.
That is the role of Subcommittee 1. Duplication of duties.
So much for that.
Departments.
You can always go to Subcommittee 1.
Committee,
not that we're trying to dodge work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their baby.
I didn't realize that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anything else on IG?
No.
Thank you. Is there anything else for this committee?
I have one that I would like to bring up, and maybe you call this new business.
Okay.
I'll make it quick. But there have been three times in my life when I have appealed real estate taxes. Once in Pennsylvania when I worked for a company in asset management, once in Fairfax County for a property I owned, and once in Loudoun County. And when I appealed it in Pennsylvania and Fairfax County, the process was very open, completely, and I'll specify Fairfax. I went in, I filed my complaint,
sat before the board, say the three of you were on the board.
The Board of Equalization.
The Board of Equalization. And I'm the citizen, and so you're the auditor for the county. And I gave my spiel, and they said thank you. And then the county gave his spiel. And then they asked questions of me. They asked questions of this person. We couldn't talk, but it was very clear and open. And then, after all the questions were asked, they closed discussion, and the board members discussed among themselves the merits of my complaint.
In the open meeting.
In the open, in front of me and in front of the county. And then they voted, either up or down, and it was over. I felt I got a fair shake. When I did that at Loudoun County, I walked in, the board's here, the county person's here, I came in, I gave my spiel, and they said,
thank you, Bill.
Thank you, we'll be back to you. And I said, wait a minute, I'd like to hear what this person says. No, that's not the procedures. Well, don't I get to hear what she says? No. Do I get to hear your discussion? No. We'll be back to you in a couple weeks. It's the only time in my life as a citizen I ever felt my rights, due process, were violated. And that stuck with me for years, and I think it's totally wrong the way Loudoun County handles the Board of Equalization. I don't know if we're the avenue or if it's totally out of the purview of this, but
you didn't try to take any pictures.
Lisa, as of a couple of years ago, I handled several appeals, and the chief appraiser was there, and we debated each other for 20 minutes.
It was open and all clear? Well, maybe it's changed since I've been
there. Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
How long ago was it? It's been probably 8 years, 10 years.
Yeah, that's not been my experience personally.
That's been an issue, and I think things have evolved in more recent years. One of the issues that we've had is it's a group that's appointed by the court.
I understand that.
We've tried to get them to be more open, and I think that whole issue with the photos certainly pushed it further. The whole issue about, I do believe now they have both the assessor and the taxpayer there. They have
I'm sure, because I recall debating.
But I don't know if, I know they had fairly frequently not made the decision. Spot.
Oh, well, I think that's perfectly acceptable. Some of the cases are complex. So we need to look at discount cash flow models and can't produce them, or whatever it might be. Or we need to look at what permitted zoning uses are permitted.
The other thing is, I have to double check this, I believe that the board just had a bill approved by the General Assembly, so that they will now be appointing the BOE. I think they got that bill through this year.
Okay, what I'll do in the next meeting is review on their website the procedures. And I'm going to look at Fairfax, and I'll bring that to the next meeting.
Great.
Thank
you.
Okay, good.
Thank
you. Any other issues for this committee? If not, our next meeting is on Thursday, April 4th at 6 o'clock. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.